So I reiterate here, the bill is dead.
The story of this great city is about the years before this night.
We are free!
Hey everybody, it's a new episode of HoHo Hong Kong. I'm here with you, Mohammed Magdi, host.
Yes, I like how you're saying it, like, me, you, here, Mohammed Magdi, host. Yes. It's like as if you're just reading the bottom left corner of like the slides on the TV screen. Mohammed Magdi, host.
Yeah.
Oh, Hong Kong.
My
podcast.
Cue card. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
It's like Cristiano Ronaldo, when he scores a goal, he just goes to the other team's like fans and he's just like, he points at himself and like, I'm here.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was doing.
That's
I'm
so
here.
Good.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
so
yeah.
good, dude. I love that taunting every now and
yeah,
then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where you're like, oh, I'm sorry. Did I just do something you don't like?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, you should have stopped me, but you couldn't. Oh,
right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. No, those are moments I definitely appreciate. It's one of those moments when I see, like, even Bruce Lee before, he would be cocky as hell.
Yeah.
But he would like kick your ass and be like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you not defeat me?
Yeah.
Did you lose to me? I thought right. you were all like, fuck it, I'm going to kick your ass because we had a traditional kung fu. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
One of my favorite, are you a UFC guy? I'm very casual with UFC.
I haven't had time to follow it much, but yeah, every now and then I do watch fights, but I'm not following enough. To
yeah,
go, like,
no, I'm not following enough. I am what considered, like, the real UFC people would hate me because I just watch the big fights.
Oh, yeah, yeah, obviously.
But it's like, whatever. But like, the master of shit talking is Conor McGregor.
Oh.
In his prime.
Oh.
He was so good.
So entertaining.
Yeah. So
I have to give it to him. Yeah, yeah.
It's just like the shit talking is just next level.
Yeah.
Of
but
like,
he, that's what I appreciate. He understands that that is part of the entertainment.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And that is what people come to watch.
That's why, yeah, he's like the biggest fight still, even though he's clearly not as good anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
But people still want to see him. Like, what is he going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think, so that brings you the entertainer angle of like things. For example, like people have told me, dude, you know how many times I've been told people tell me like, oh man, you should do more videos about how, you know, Indian people, Chinese people, this and that.
Yeah.
And like, I really had a deep think about it. I'm like, yeah, but no, I don't want to do the same old shit of like, oh, here's a Chinese phrase that actually means this. I mean, I don't mind doing it once in a while, but like, not enough for me to be like known for that.
Right.
Right. So I think Conor McGregor, I think, first of all, even though you shit talk, you still have to train. Okay?
Yes.
Like Floyd Mayweather, everything, you know, shit talk, but you, the guy is actually good.
Yeah.
You know, you're not just like big talk, but no walk, right?
Right.
But however, yeah, if you're able to do the talk as well, that's another level. Like, that's why Khabib and everything, like, they don't have that much of a pull. Even though they're better,
yeah,
but they're like, yeah, but it's not entertaining to watch, and
yes.
that's what I learned over time.
Yeah, like, they're like machines almost.
Yeah,
they're, like,
they're really good at what they do, but like, yeah, but I just watch the technicalities. That's not what I'm here
right.
for. And the mass audience don't want this technicalities. They want the entertainment factor.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes some of the best guys are like just like they grab you to the ground basically, and it's just like a grappling match.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, bleh.
Well, yeah, and the audience literally sometimes boos because they just want to see people beat the shit out of each
same
other.
Same in Hong Kong,
not
dude.
Like a jiu-jitsu game.
Oh, dude, in Hong Kong when I was actually doing the ring announcements and everything, when they were on the ground for long enough, people are like, boom.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, like, do you know this is actually a lot of skill and everything
involved?
Yeah, of
course. It's jiu-jitsu. Yeah.
Yeah. But people are like, yeah, but pick him up and punch him.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah. I guess they confuse it with like WWE.
Yeah. You
like,
know, you're thinking that, the most electrifying man in all sports entertainment.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
No, but that's the thing. It's like, you understand, even in comedy, you have crowds with like, oh, just tell me those really basic jokes of like, you know.
Or like, ask me where I'm from and like,
you know, and poke fun of the place I'm from. Ah,
sure.
Yeah, I'm Muslim.
Yeah,
And as the entertainer ourselves, I'm sure we evolve over time. We're like, yeah, that's too basic.
Right.
It's like, what I found is that I've, like, just like a musician, you know, initially you go like London Bridge is falling down, but after a while you're like, I want a little jazz, a little challenge, I want to mix things up, trying to be, you know, a bit more experimental. Mm. And I think that's the same with everything. However, it is the game of being able to go full circle where you go all the way, get experimental, and be like, now I can come back to what I want to do. But
actually with an experienced eye, with like,
Yes, exactly. You know? So
agree.
All these small things, I'm like, that I can appreciate the most, which is like, let's say Dwayne Johnson, right? The Rock, right?
Mm.
Like, he's coming back to WWE now.
Yeah.
Because I think there was some buyout or whatever, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I think it's actually the same company now.
TKO,
speaking of UFC, they're actually the same people
who own both
now.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is insane.
One company owning both of these huge.
Yeah. It's,
that is so stupidly crazy, dude.
I think this is when you're like, I think as governments, you're supposed to just cap people's like money or like, like just companies even like, it's like
too
you
big.
Can't, you can't, you're too big. Exactly.
Someone
evil or whatever just can make crazy decisions and affect a significant part of the whole world's population.
Yeah.
Like if someone for some fucked up reason decides like, I'm going to shut down both of them because I can.
Yeah.
Imagine how many people are just going to be pissed off.
Unemployed.
Pissed off, just angry. It's just like, You shouldn't give someone this much power.
And like, let's put it this way. Technically, they even have the power of banning, let's say, one particular race if they want to.
Yes, exactly. They could. It's a private company.
They could just be like, you know what? This is the inferior race. We're never going to hire them. Like, what?
Yeah.
You know? And then people don't know what to do. They're like, I guess you can-ish?
Yeah.
And then you'll, of course, lose some fans, but you might have, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
It could be the next KKK.
Yes.
Right over there.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. This is so crazy,
yeah.
Dude. Yeah, so all these things put together, I think over time, there's some people that you work with where no matter what you do, the evolution never happens, and these are handy men. No, I'm just kidding. handy people.
Handy. Yeah. Don't assume their gender.
Exactly, yeah.
Your point still stands, not men. It's exactly, general people.
Yeah, general. Anyone can be handy, right?
Handy curtain.
Yeah. All right. Handy curtain, exactly. Yeah, he's not handy at all. Trust me.
No, we're talking about people who don't evolve in their careers.
Oh, yeah, then he's very handy. Yeah.
Handyman, actually, as we're recording right now, you have a situation in the house.
Yeah.
Just walk us through what's happening.
So once again, to remind everybody, I'm renovating my other apartment that I have. Now, it's in the same building as my current apartment. The reason is because I got my parents to take care of it and everything. Long story short, don't want to have to get into it because trust me, we'll be here for like 5 episodes.
Right.
My parents in one apartment, me and my girlfriend on the other apartment. Want to be nearby because it's easier should there be a problem. And secondly, there's a typhoon. I don't have to worry about leaving my house, go to find them. Thirdly, I can guarantee whatever happens, just go down real quickly and get it done. All right,
yes.
Okay. So while we were doing the renovations and everything, we have to redo the water pipes on the upper floor where I'll be staying.
So what does that mean?
So basically, it's redo all the piping from the main water meter where the water tank is at the top of the building.
So water tank serves the whole building.
Yes, serves the whole building. And then you have these dividers where you have each flat has their own piping.
Okay, so just to give a visual to me and the audience, so there's a big water tank for simplification.
Yeah, and there are like 20 lanes for 20 floors.
Right, so just one huge pipe that gives smaller pipes to units, right?
Correct, yeah. Okay. Now, those smaller pipes were built when the building was built, and those were many, many years ago, and they're steel pipes. Nowadays, you use copper pipes because steel pipes get rusty every now and then. Mm. Problems here and there, right? But copper pipes, they do very well. They last very long, And so when we were renovating the top floor, the higher floor, I should say, no, it's not the top anyway. I was like, yeah, can we just redo the pipes? We just get it done.
Here's a question from a layman. Where does the tank on top get the water from? Because it's on top.
Yeah. So the water supplies department of Hong Kong government will supply the water to the tank. The tank just basically stores it. Because what happens is that you have to have water pressure.
Right.
So,
yeah.
If so I understand.
Is it manually? Like, is there another pipe that pressures it up?
Yes, I believe, there is pipes that pressures up, but the pipe is obviously not that strong, so it just keeps pumping it into this big, 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 big tank.
Right.
And the big tank stores it, and when we need it in our apartments, the tank can be like, unleash!
Right.
And it just like surges down through the pipe, so you get some water pressure. Mm. Whereas the refill of the tank will be much slower.
Right.
However, from a calculation, then average use and everything, the tank should always have more water than people need in general.
Of course.
It's highly unlikely 20-something floors of people are all showering at the exact same time.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's just like a bank where we're going to lend enough money, but if everybody withdraws the money, we're all fucked.
I love the concept of like that. Yeah, that's how banks operate.
That's how they
work. Because you can fuck them up so easily in a day.
The whole world withdraws the money. They can't. They don't have enough money to withdraw it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that's the craziest, scary thing of like we're living in a world where actually don't have the kind of we're not in an ability to actually afford the world we're living in.
No,
we can't.
No. When you're looking at your bank account as a number on your app, that is not money that is currently there. Obviously, if it's very small, it's a smaller problem.
Yeah,
but that's not really money that they actually have. They kind of lent it to other people, sometimes to other countries.
Yeah,
and they're like, And you're like, can I have my money now?
Correct,
you're like, can you come back in a week?
And that was the weird thing when I was learning economics as a kid. Is like, so I'm like, wait, so they can lend money and this creates more money. Like, yeah, that's how the whole world works, where like it's just bubbling up even bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
So you can build buildings you can't afford now. I'm like, but you could never do that. Like, yeah, I know, but we get to enjoy this life.
Right.
Creating the money that we don't really have.
Right.
Assuming that you would ever withdraw your money. I'm like, wow, that's a genius idea. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Right. However, I'm like, that's scary as shit.
It's so scary because every now and then you'd have something like a financial crisis.
Exactly,
and then it's same like, with the mortgages thing, where everyone's like, or the bank's like, oh, you can't pay, so we have your houses now. And everyone's like, all right, so where do we live? It's like, fuck off.
Number one.
But then the banks have houses that, like, empty.
That's not money,
It's not money.
Yeah, and then when people want money, we have houses. Like, we don't want houses, we want cash. I want cash for you.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So many so stupid things like that, right?
Right. So going back to the water tank.
So water tank. So I decided this lower floor that we're staying in, also the piping needs to get changed. I'm like, well, since we're doing the upper floor, let me do the lower floor.
How do you know that your piping needs to get changed?
Oh, we knew from day one. We got this flat already. It was like steel pipes. Like, this is old kind of technology. technology that eventually might be a problem. So I was like, yeah, it's fine. It doesn't really matter. I don't have the money anyway. But what happens is very simple. When you stop the water in the building, right, then there's no water flowing. And then when you restart the water, the first flow is really, really strong. What happens is the steel pipes have, you know, a little rust here and there. So actually, when you have that first initial blast of water, it breaks some of the rust.
Right.
So when you start the water, it's all brown and dirty and everything because it's like, yeah, the rust has come off.
You
so
actually see it.
You see it. Yeah, you see it. So it's kind of scary where you technically probably do have little particles of rust in your water that you're drinking. But obviously, you kind of use filter and everything. So therefore, you're okay. However, in the long term, obviously, it's not good for you. So therefore, I was like, if we're going to do it, let's do it, get it done.
Right.
Now, this comes back to the whole, how the hell did they get to those pipes?
Yes.
They're outside the building in the corner of the building. So how do you fucking climb up there, right? So you got to do scaffolding. Now, anybody in Hong Kong knows that scaffolding is all bamboo and everything.
Yeah.
But the craziest thing, and I recommend everybody, if you ever do any renovations or anything, you've got to check out the initial scaffolding phase where you have the seafood, the guy coming out of your window.
I wish we can actually have the chance one time to interview one of these guys.
These guys, like, I bet you for them, they're like, yeah, what about it? It's like, so I'm on the 100th floor and?
Yeah, like, what? Yeah.
And I'd be like, have you heard of parkour? They're like, buddy, fuck those guys. You know?
Yeah.
And it's okay. So
they're hanging off buildings with a fucking cigarette in their mouth.
Yeah.
And then no harness.
No harness. Yeah. They're kind of like,
So you're right now, you're on X floor. They want to say which floor.
Yeah.
But you have the scaffolding just outside. Which you see in Hong Kong a lot.
Yeah.
A very tall building.
Yeah.
And just like, will it say 15th floor? Just scaffolding, just like a balcony, basically.
Yeah, only on the 15th
floor. Like a makeshift balcony.
Yeah.
On the 15th floor. Yeah. It's like, what?
How?
Yeah, walk us through, like, how does that even start?
So the guy basically finds a window he can climb out of. Now, you might think these are really narrow. Dude, do not fucking, no.
You will find the smaller person.
They will find a way to get through that window. It is fucking insane. Like, these guys really, if they were given the right opportunity, they could be on America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
All this shit would just blow your mind.
Oh, right? That would be so cool.
Okay, so they go out, and what they usually do is that if you have a clothing rack outside your window, they can stand on that. Now,
No.
Now, like, every now and then we put a little tray with, like, these anti-slip mats.
Sure.
And we put our plants outside to get some sun, right? And me and my mom are always freaking out, like, oh my God, will it be too heavy? Will it be this?
Yeah.
This guy fucking just stands on it, like, no big deal. And I was like,
dude, I'm sweating now, right? Listening to you.
I asked the guy, I'm like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, this is no big. I have two bolts on the wall. This is perfectly fine. I'm like, the fuck is wrong? These are small little bolts, dude. Like, the size
of your
finger. But
also, you're placing trust in so many. I mean, I think from, like, just an average person's point of view, like, the risk is risk gets higher when there are things you can't control.
Yeah.
Right? And you're just, you're putting something, like, you're putting too much trust in stuff you have zero control over.
Yeah, you assume the bolt will work and everything.
Assume that the paint is not going to come off. You're assuming that the plant thing is not rusty enough to break.
It's like, I was like, I would not assume that shit, man.
No.
That is way too much assumptions for my comfort level, right?
Right.
So he just stands on that. Okay, now he climbs, and then usually outside of all the buildings, you have pipes. So he just stands, grabs the pipe, jumps onto the pipe, and is standing with his foot on, like, the horizontal pipe.
So far, there is no scaffolding.
No scaffolding.
Yeah. So he's standing on the plant rack.
Yeah.
And holding onto a pipe.
Yeah. Okay. And then I believe he then hooks his little harness, whatever, onto one of the pipe ledges. Something.
Oh, wow. Crazy safety standard.
Game saver, right? And then you have to basically, he has to drill holes into the outside of the building wall where he then puts these, like, kind of L-shaped, you know, like when you have shelves, underneath the shelf, you have the L-shaped holder.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
Drill them in. And then he can put this big metal kind of board, which becomes the floor.
Right.
And then that's the beginning. I was like, what the fuck?
And then now he has, like, a proper floor when he can, like, run around.
Yeah. And the craziest thing
is, you're on the whatever floor.
Yeah. And then the craziest thing is, like, he'll wrap around the whole apartment, right?
Right.
Pretty much the whole apartment. And then once you do that, you can freely walk around, you know. I'm just like, that is so crazy. Like, part of me really did at one point when they were doing renovation, I was like, when they have the windows,
you want
to
walk out?
I want to go out and just see what it's like and be like, oh, this is about a balcony.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me understand. Let me say I go out there and I'm like, wow, what a view. What an experience.
Right.
But what if that fucks up?
Right, right.
I don't think it's worth that experience, you know.
I would do it. But if I'm harnessed very well.
Yeah, for sure.
I would do it there's some, like, when you do, like, bungee jumping or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, Macau Tower has one where there is also, like, a ledge walk.
Yeah.
So it's something like a ledge walk.
So it's not a bungee jump, but like ledge walk.
Where you can harness. And I would do that even here. Like, if I can use their harness. But the problem is that they are not using harnesses.
Yeah.
So if they have their own, I'd be like, okay, I would do that just for the experience. But like, they're not harnessed at all.
Dude, do you understand? The two of us were taught, if you remember when we did the Jason Young show.
Yeah.
When we used that, basically, to remind everybody, we had to be actually certifiably trained how to use what they call a genie machine, which is basically a vertically up down machine to go touch ceilings of, you know, sure, adjusting lights and everything.
Yeah, you see them all over Hong Kong for like,
and
you know,
even
whatever.
That machine, we had to harness ourselves onto the edge
for like 10 meters.
Yeah, for 10 meters. Yeah. These guys are like, yeah, whatever, you know. All right, so but of course when they're doing properly everything, but once it's done, technically it's all scaffolded where you can't really fall off because they build up the walls.
Well, not
scaffolded.
Just walls, but they also have some sort of a net, right?
Yeah, a net, everything. So there's no way of slipping through the gap. And everything.
So even if you do, you're just kind of like hanging in the net, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know. Yeah. So you do have a safety net.
But then you can faint just from like looking down.
Dude, it's so insane. Just the like for me, dude, bungee jumping is not a thing I do.
I did it, and it's really fun.
Yeah.
Because it's just one of the things like jumping in like a cold pool or whatever. Once you get over the initial like, oh my god, like because bungee jumping, I did it in the Macau Tower. That's the highest in the world. Because it's so high, you actually have time to like enjoy it as well.
You
have
the
scare. So you have the whatever 3 seconds in the beginning when you think your heart is gonna stop.
Yeah.
But then after that, you're like, oh, look around, I'm flying, and that's a cool feeling.
Now that's the other thing. Like, this is the problem for me is that I have way too much thinking foresight of like my return on investment. And I'm like, so the joy I get there, has this risk involved? Nah.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't appeal to me.
Sure.
That's why, like, when I went to the AIA Carnival with Gloria, we had some free tickets to go in. Mm. I'm like, you know what? We have a few tokens. Please go ahead and do all these stupid rides. I don't care. But I'm guaranteeing no way. Yeah. Like, not...
Like, but, like, those rides are, like, really... Like, there is nothing...
They have a few, like, crazy ones. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, they had a few, like... Insane. I was like, Jesus Christ, that's crazy. You
what?
Know?
Which ones?
They had this one where, like, I believe it's a whole row of people and they literally, like, just fling you around.
Right. And right. Like the Noah's Ark or whatever?
It's not really Noah's Ark, like, the boat thing. No. Mm. But this was, like, just in the air. Like, literally, just imagine, like, a plastic bag with, like, a tennis ball in it.
Yeah.
Just this kid going nuts.
What? Okay, like, wow. I feel like... I don't know. I mean, Hong Kong generally has good safety standards.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is one of the ones that I think not just that the risk is too high, the possibility of something go wrong is like so many things can go wrong. As opposed to the bungee jump, they do it in a way, if it's a reputable place like the Macau Tower, it's a free fall, but you also have two extra safety lines.
So
when your main cord snaps and one of the other cord snaps, you have a third one.
That's
a really, really high
feel. Three backups I can live with.
Exactly. Based on that, I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
What are the chances that three lines are going to snap?
But like, honestly, for me though, I think my life in general has so many adrenaline fucking exciting, not exciting, but like stressful moments for me. I'm like, you know what? I don't need to anymore.
I get that. But like, you know, you also don't, you want to have different, because you get used to the thrill of being on stage, for example.
That's a different thrill.
You talk about like people like having the fear of public speaking. We don't have that anymore.
Yeah, we're like, I'm like, rock, bring it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you enjoy it. Like, you don't, like, maybe it's a new gig or whatever, you're excited about it, but you don't have the same fear.
Yeah.
So you introduce a new kind of fear.
Yeah.
Which is bungee jumping.
I don't know, like, hence what I mean. Like, with bungee jumping, that skill set, I cannot translate it into anywhere else where I can apply that.
Yeah.
You get my point? Hence why, again, I think my brain, in generally, is way too practical.
Right.
Like, I'm just way too practical. And so I'm like, so how can I benefit? How can I translate? What can this be used for? What can I gain from this? Like, no, this is a fun thing. I'm like, I don't do fun things. I do things that...
Yes, I met you. I know you don't do fun things.
Yeah. And I really... Dude, this has been one of those things, again, I've had time that I've spent thinking
about.
You're
like about the most serious entertainer I know ever. Like, you just don't do fun things.
I don't do
Your job is to make other people have fun while you are miserable.
I take everyone's fun very seriously.
Exactly. You're like the dad who's like too serious about like taking their kids on holiday.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we do this on time. Yeah, you go there. It's exactly. You want to really make sure that everyone is having fun, but you're miserable.
It's very true, dude. It's very true. No, but I think I'm miserable, but I always say, like, my type of fun has to have some sort of ROI.
Right.
I have to have an ROI. I can't do it. Like, I will have that bag of chips if it makes me feel better. I'll eat it. But if it's purely like, oh, you know what? I just want to chew on something. What am I chewing on? I don't need to chew on something.
Right. Unless it's a Big House cookie.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the Big House cookie still gives me some joy.
It's the same like the bungee jumping.
No, but I get that kind of satisfaction of like, I earned it.
Right.
The chocolate, it hits a certain spot where I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, I needed that little chocolate boost of like, hey, this is my moment that I earned it kind of a thing. Secondly, okay, for example, I can chew chewing gum as long as like it's the breath refreshing chewing gum.
Right.
If you tell me it's purely just sweet, I'm like, no, why? What's the point of that? Like, I don't
need I actually agree with you on that one.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
yeah.
like, you know, yeah, yeah.
What's the point? Just,
yeah, there is no point. Yeah, yeah it no does point. Feel like you're just...
So hence why like I found that, unfortunately for me, I've come to my point in my life where like, I have to have a point in everything I'm doing otherwise. Like, even I say yin yoga.
Yeah.
I'm doing it because I mean, I need to stretch my muscles.
What about like watching like a pure like action movie, like just like a shut off your brain, so like, you know, whatever, Top Gun.
It is only because my brain's already fried. That's why. Like, I watched Top Gun partly because I was so fried. I just need a movie just to zone out,
right,
man.
So you still see this as an, like something, you're getting something out of it.
Correct,
which is
yeah.
to
which is
rest your brain or
correct.
Whatever.
Yes, yes, yes. So everything is like, even my walks when I do, if I go for walks, which I don't really need to because I walk so much anyway.
Right.
I'm thinking like, I'm going to go walk here, not because I save money only, but I'm also getting my daily exercise in. You know, right. I'm calculating the ROI. And in many ways, even my meditation, when I do that, I'm like, oh, this is going to help me control my mind better.
So you have no in your daily
schedule,
like not scheduled in vocabulary. You don't have anything like just for the hell of it. Like that doesn't exist for the fun of it.
Yes.
Like people say that. You
oddly
know,
enough,
people do stuff like this, like go on
just
whatever.
Who cares? Yeah,
exactly.
I don't. I really don't. Like I literally, honestly, the reason is because I have such a long to-do list.
Yeah.
That I don't have the capacity or the ability to just for the hell of it, because I'm like, I got shit to do, dude.
I wonder when is this gonna change for you.
I honestly feel like when finally things settle, which will never will.
Yeah, exactly.
But once I've got things under control, in the sense where. Yeah. Okay, let me put it this way. Right now, I got all these things I'm juggling, right? Now, what will happen is once these things settle down, then it's really a maintenance phase. It's not the building phase. So what's happening with my life right now is I'm in the building phase. So once
which is insane to say for someone who is 40.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I should be like,
I'm just like, I'm still starting my life.
Yeah. You get it? Yeah, I'm still trying to build all this shit up. But however, for example, my private gigs in my comedy, I'm in the maintenance phase where I no longer have to be like, all right, let me connect. Let me go to this networking. Let me talk to these people. Let me send my profile. I'm like, no, I think they know me enough where the gigs will come to me. So in that sense, I'm very chill with my private gigs.
Right.
I am not worried at all that, oh, would I get booked anymore? I'm like, I am very sure I'm in the circle now. So you see, like that thing, I don't have, like I will still go every now and then to these kind of events where, like, let's say some PR event, right?
Sure. Yeah. Like, hey, remember me. Don't forget about me.
Yeah. You know, just a bit of that, just a reminder. But I'm not gonna be like, okay, I better send a. I won't be sending them a reminder. Hey, it's been 6 months. Just wanted to let you know I'm so funny. You know, I'm like none of that. You know, so yeah, I got that. However, I would say, even with that, it's really bizarre because, like, even with the corporate gigs or whatever I do, partly it's because I need the money, number one.
Sure.
Number two is like, yeah, I'll keep doing it because then I guarantee I'm still the one they're getting. So, like I said, I have a few good examples. I'm coming back from Melbourne for the Science Park gig.
Right.
And that's specifically because of that gig because, like, I am their guy. Now, I could have been like, no, I don't want to do it. And they have actually 1 year found someone else to do it while I wasn't there. But they themselves were like, no.
Then you come back. Yeah.
You come back.
Right.
I'm like, wow, that's another level of respect.
That's really good. Yeah.
You know, so I have that. Hence why I'm like, I'll be working around with each other. But yeah, I have the hell of it. I'm hoping maybe when I'm in Melbourne.
I mean, does the idea appeal to you?
It does.
Like, yeah.
It definitely is something I want to do because there's a lot of things I want to do for myself. However, I put aside my work. I've got my own things I want to do. For example, I still have a
collect Joker figurines.
That's an easy one. Like that happens simultaneously already.
Right.
But I want to do things. For example, I used to be practicing like all Olympic lifting and stuff. You know, like when you watch the Olympics, they lift the thing over their head. That kind of thing. That's one I want to go back and practice on. You know. But that's still kind of an ROI thing. I'm trying to learn a skill. But then once I've got those few things down, where they get into my maintenance phase,
right?
Then I'm like, all right, today I'm gonna go for a walk.
Yeah, well, what is the silliest thing you want to do that is really seems pointless that you were like enjoy, like fantasize about? Just like, oh, I
honestly, dude, like literally just one day wake up, don't even talk to anybody, and just walk out of my house. And just for that day, just take a bus, go to the beach, don't even have to tell nobody nothing,
right?
And just come back at home and no one ever asked me anything. You know what I mean? That's like the crazy, like just that one day where I wake up and like I don't have to answer to nobody, I don't give a shit. Hence why Chinese New Year, that's my favorite time, because what happens is I wake up,
everything
like,
shuts down,
so I can do whatever the fuck I want, right?
Right.
Of course, you got a family, show where you're going, all that stuff, but that's the fantasy where I'm like, I wake up, they all see me, they're like, oh, today's that day.
Yeah.
Just leave him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if there's that
one. He can feed himself. It's fine. Don't worry about him.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if there's one day, like let's say like everyone's birthday, right? You get the little privilege. Let's assume that. Let's say on the birthday, everyone's like, oh, it's Philip's birthday. You know, like today's the day where you do not touch him. Nobody ask him for anything.
You know, you can ask that of the people close to you.
But but I'm saying I have responsibilities. The world is still turning.
But like you can block out one day out of 365 days and be like, it can be your birthday.
Yeah.
It can be the 30th of December. Whatever.
Yeah. No, there is. However, because there are so many things still going on, that one day has an impact and a ripple effect on so many other things. I'm like, right now, I'm not there yet.
Right.
You get my point?
Yeah.
But the day will come. That's one of those things. Like, it's a good question. And I thought about that. I was like, I just want to have that one day that everybody knows, oh, that's the Viv day.
Right.
You don't fuck that up.
Yeah.
You get it? It's kind of like someone's, let's say, Christmas.
Mm-mm.
That's the family dinner. I don't give a fuck what happens.
Right.
You're coming to the house for dinner, yeah. Right?
Yeah, so going back to our man on the scaffolding.
Yeah.
Do you think he has the, like, because obviously his job is so risky. Do you think he has something that is like, to him, it's probably not
an adrenaline
rush. Yeah, exactly. What would excite someone with a job like this?
I guess if I were them, my way of exciting is just to meet other people who claim to have scary jobs.
Right.
Be like, fuck off.
Maybe you can try that. You'd be like, hey, I can relate to you.
Yeah.
I tell jokes and sometimes they don't like it.
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, and I fucking risk my life.
Yeah.
And sometimes the client doesn't realize it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And they still don't like it.
And they still don't like it, you know? Like, I could have died and replaced someone else. They're like, oh, is the pipes ready?
Yeah.
That's your question, right?
Well, actually, I don't know. Maybe you can cut this. But like when you told me about like the guy, what the guy's doing here, you also said that they don't like to take insurance on their job.
So basically what it is, what...
I don't know how illegal it is or whatever.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Like basically you have to buy insurance, which is fair. Everyone
sure,
should,
of course.
Right? Legal reasons, whatever. But like let's say something small happens where it's not enough to be like, oh my God, we're really in trouble. If it's a small thing, let's say this broke off, that broke off. They're like, I'd rather pay for the damage myself than claim insurance. Mostly because like once you claim insurance, you got your premium goes up, right?
Right.
Like, oh, your
it's
liability.
The same thing as being like a bad driver.
Exactly,
if you hit
yeah.
the car enough times, then now they're like, oh yeah.
Yeah, you're too dangerous for us. Like unless you pay this amount, we're not going to insure you, right?
Yeah.
So then they do the math and like I got 10 other jobs going on. My premium will go up for all of them.
Mm.
And if I claim, let's say a few $1,000, sure, it's not worth it. And the claim is really just for them to have money to cover the damages. And they're like, well, the damage is just, let's say, a pipe and I can fix that really easily.
You're right.
Right? It's just the idea of I bought insurance, so why not claim it? So same with me. Like I remember travel insurance as well. I think I've only claimed it once in my life. And luckily, because it's only one time, you only get that one little hit. So you're still okay.
Sure.
But had I claimed like 3-4 times, I'm sure by now they're like, yeah, no, fuck you, man.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah, so you have that. But so yeah, so they told me about that idea that unless it's like, oh my God, life and death, obviously, it's a different game.
Sure.
But they take their precautions. I'll give them that. They wear their hard hats, all that stuff. But yeah, for them, you can definitely tell they're like, dude, a lot of these precautions, it's like when we did the genie thing, right?
Right.
Hook this, do that, key that, double check, all that stuff. You're like, I'm like, buddy. Like,
yeah.
Initially, you really play safe.
Sure.
But after a month of it, you're like,
yeah,
we get it.
Yeah, no, I get it.
We
yeah.
saw ourselves, right? We've got to mention this. Like, oh, wait, you know?
Right.
It's natural.
And after a while, it's like, yeah, whatever. But did you talk to them? Because obviously, you can speak Cantonese to them. Did you talk to them about how scaffolding is still being used until today? Like, is there a safer option?
So they've been doing this for over 20 years, right?
Right.
And they did tell me that they've done this for so long that they trust it.
Right.
Where they're like, this works. Like, if you get introduced, like, to metal rods, they're like, wait,
right.
You know?
They have to have a whole other system.
Yeah, because I also think about the way of the bamboo is that the edges of the bamboo, the way it kind of morph a little bit into the wall.
Yeah.
You know, like, how the edge kind of pokes into the wall.
Yeah, actually, on the street, too. So when you see the
on
bamboo,
the ground, yeah.
It's not actually flat.
It's not flat, yeah.
It's which is just insane.
You'd be like, why would it be flat, right?
Yeah. But I guess the flat is, like, giving it more... that's my very limited understanding.
I have no idea, but
it's
like,
giving it more chances to split, like break, as opposed to the flat. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. But I think the flat thing, so it doesn't wobble. This way, it's only one small point, so it has to be that way. You know, it can't wobble too much with the flat surfaces. That maybe that's the reason.
Mm.
But yeah, definitely all these small things, you're like, what the fuck, you know? And really, they were telling me, like, we've done it for so long that, let's be very honest, they can do it without with their eyes closed.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy just watching them tie the knots. And these are legit, like, fucking...
Oh, yeah. The knots is another thing because, like, they just use this, like, black
nylon,
film.
Nylon
thing.
Yeah,
and it's just, like, it seems so... it feels so flimsy.
Yeah.
But then they tie, like, two bamboo things together and
it's
like
solid.
Super strong.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And, like, I see something like, this is what I mean. This is, like, the proper craft to it.
Yeah.
And that's what I was telling you. Like, the saddest part is that I think they're going to start phasing these out. And the problem is that this particular craft in itself, that the way to tie this knot is like such a unique thing that I feel this itself
It needs to be protected.
Yeah,
in a way.
You know, it's such a waste of a skill over there just because we better technology. I'm like, yeah, but there's certain things that just.
This feels very like environmental friendly because these bamboos keep being used for a lot very long time.
Yeah, they're not wasted. Yeah.
They're not wasted, and you can keep using them. And obviously, there is almost no technology involved.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to you're gonna have to have like those like crazy big. The cars,
the metal ones,
with the cranes and everything.
And I'm sure it'll be heavy and bullshit, blah, blah, blah. And bringing it up and new regulations like, you can't have this length with this width and this material.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, dude. Yeah. And I think that's the other thing. Is like, coming back to this whole thing is that this is the difference why in Asia things are so much more efficient. Because the truth is at the end of the day, everyone's like, dude, just get the fucking stuff done.
Right.
Just shut the fuck up.
Yeah. We don't need what are the regulations? Just get it done.
Yeah.
And like, we're going to work around like, just the most efficient way possible.
Yeah.
As opposed to like what rules. But I mean, I feel like there is a good middle ground there because of course when you start doing things too improvised,
you can't
have accidents.
So that's what I mean. Like, hence what I'm talking about, how it must be the middle ground of basically you can either have all the forms filled and all the I's dotted and everything, but then you're wasting so much time just making sure, okay, let's discuss this one now. Now let's discuss that one.
Yeah.
Like, dude, just can we get into the site and start doing it?
Yes.
And then every week assess the situation and adjust. Because that's the truth. Like everything will tell you. That is the best way. Like, it's kind of saying, let me write some comedy in my notebook and write like 10 times and then go to open mic. Like, dude, go to open mic on the second
you'll
time
you'll learn
already.
So much more.
Yeah.
You can read the theory.
Yeah.
You can like try it on paper or whatever or on a friend, but you're going to learn. So you'll accelerate. You might get there eventually with the other method, but you'll accelerate it so much faster once you're actually in the field.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, makes sense.
Exactly. Small things. That's why I appreciate what they're doing. Now, okay, coming back to this one is that, however, the fun part was that they had to come through my flat because I'm at the lower flat right now.
Right.
The higher flats upstairs they're doing. And basically have to do from this floor all the way to the top of the building. So they have to bring the bamboos and everything in. Now, this is the fun part where the day they were coming in, they needed to do it for 2 days. And both days I had to go out in the afternoon. So the issue is this. Do I give them the code to my door?
Right.
Or do I keep the door open? All right. So I had to leave. My mom had to leave as well. And these guys have helped me with this current flat before and like the other flat and also all that stuff.
So I trust them. Yeah.
So I literally kept the door open. And I was like, guys, okay, it's very simple. I'm keeping my door open. You do as you need to. When you need to, when you're done, just close the door. You're good.
Right.
2 days, dude. Door completely open to these guys.
Damn.
Do as you please. We trust each other.
Right.
And I was just like, crazy, like I can't believe this is happening right now.
Yeah, but you also have to clear obviously a lot of stuff from your living room to even allow room
all
for the bamboos.
Bamboo so we had to clear the
and the window is so small.
Yeah,
and you just like sneak, like just like
a
jump out of it.
Yeah, a person just slides through. I was watching them like, how the what? Like, you don't look like you could fit, but you could. And you know, it defies all the laws of all the kiddie toys where you have the star that goes in the star hole and the heart that goes in the
heart
hole.
Mentioned this before. There is like some sort of interactive, well, not an interactive, I don't know what the right word is, like a report on the SCMP from months ago when it talks about the history of the bamboo stuff. It's multimedia. It's like using a lot of like graphics and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's really, really cool. Just look it up. Like,
SCMP
bamboo history or something.
Yeah.
And it just talks about like, how it's done, all of these knots and all of these things.
It is so bizarre watching these guys. This guy just walk through and just go through the window. And like, they do it so effortlessly. You're like, wait, what? You were talking to me just now.
Right.
And you're outside. What the fuck?
Well, moving on past, so the piping is one, obviously one issue.
Okay.
What other things that do you experience as like a new homeowner that you have to work with in the contract?
All
for example, one of the things that I notice as a tenant is that sometimes, especially in Hong Kong, that you have to seal the floor or your ceiling respectively because sometimes the water seeps
from
above or below.
Okay, so
and that's a whole other operation I did not learn about.
It is such a headache, man, because like, you don't even know what your neighbors are doing. They might spill water, this and that, and how they've got all that stuff. So the bathrooms have to have the floor. Basically, they put this waterproof cement around the bathroom. You can technically do this for the whole house, but it's a waste of money, so they normally don't. All right, so you have that. Now, I'll tell you this though. We are now in the phase of the renovations where the cabinets and everything are coming in. So we're down to the final details. Initially, when you first start renovation, the hardest part is getting your wiring right. So I gutted the whole place, right? So now we have to think about...
So wiring usually goes through the floor or the ceiling.
The floor or the ceiling,
yeah.
and you have to decide where do you want sockets. Mm. Now, if anybody knows me, and if you look around this house now, every wall must have a socket.
Sure.
Generally, people who live normal lives will have maybe one or two sockets in the whole room.
No, I'm like you. I want sockets everywhere.
Oh, dude.
Unless it looks like crazy, like when there is like a socket every few centimeters.
Yeah.
But I like as many sockets as I can get.
Exactly. I hate extension bars.
Yes.
I absolutely hate them.
Yeah.
And I need a socket everywhere. And I have certain designated sockets. Like my computer area, I've got like five sockets there.
Right.
One for the PC, one for this, one for that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the initial headache where you have to design the sockets and see exactly where, because that's where they drill through the holes.
Mm.
Now, this is also the problem is that every wire is different.
Mm.
So with someone like myself, I like to have certain cabling for my internet LAN cables versus, let's say, the power cables.
Mm.
Now, one tube can be 16 millimeters diameter, 20 millimeters diameter, 23. In other words, the tubing that they put in the floor to put the wires through
mm.
can be thick
oh,
or thin.
I see, I see.
You get it? The gauge of that tube.
Yeah.
So the thicker the tube, the more wires it can fit in.
Mm.
So you have to now decide what wire you're going to actually put in before you even get...
But why do you bother? Just do it as wide as possible, basically, so you can fit in...
Because you can't drill that deep of a hole sometimes.
Mm.
You get
okay.
it? And
yeah.
like certain walls are not that thick.
Right.
Right. I would love to make everything as wide
yeah,
as possible, but
yeah.
it doesn't work that way because the walls need to have some sort of... bearing with the bricks, right?
Sure.
All right, so all that stuff. So I have to go, at that time, already decide all my cables. I want to use this particular cable, that particular, can we fit it into this thing, everything. Okay, that's all done.
Mm.
And then they start doing the other work, for example, the plumbing, the this, which I don't really care about, just make sure the water comes out in this
sure.
area.
Sure, yeah.
Right? And then we have to design all the furniture, how is it going to fit into this section?
Mm.
So we draw all that stuff out. The furniture has now been installed. And then here comes the nitty gritty, the ones where you start seeing, okay?
Yeah.
What surface do you use on the furniture? What type of formica, in other words? What, like, you
right.
know, wood, texture, this texture. Mm. So I have literally got a fucking bag full of, I don't know,
samples,
thousands of samples.
Yeah.
These, like, size of, like, basically, like, business card samples.
Sure.
Right? And looking at
sometimes it's just like they all feel the same, they look the same
yeah.
and then it's like your brain is fried just
you're fried dude
yeah.
And so what I would do is if I like something, I will go back and get four more samples, then put them together so it's a bigger piece to see what it looks like in a bigger
right.
size right
yeah.
go online, because online doesn't justify it. So you have all that stuff. Okay, all right, so then you have to look about all the spacing, like, okay, I have this much space for my fridge.
Mm.
What fridge am I going to buy? Will it fit into this particular space?
Yeah.
You know, all that shit. And then finally,
so it's like, I mean, you can, I guess you can find the fun of it because it's basically like a real life puzzle.
It's like a Lego, yeah. It's like a puzzle.
It's yeah,
however,
Lego or puzzle. Yeah.
I'll give you the kicker though, right? Okay, so we had to buy handles for our cupboards and cabinets, right?
Oh God.
And so we
that
bought
sounds
handles.
Not fun.
Okay, that,
by the way.
And that's a headache in the sense, like, oh my God, what do I like? So we got these handles. And I told my contractor, I'm like, okay, I want a position like this. In other words, our cabinets, much like, you know, when you see these wooden cabinets, they have like let's say a square face, they have this little frame around the square face. In other words, you have a rectangle within the rectangle. Just kind of the texture, right?
Sure.
I'm like, I want the handle's top to align with the inner line of this.
Okay.
So, yeah, got it, right?
Yeah.
And I came back again. I'm like, all right, so again, like, I want to make sure I didn't say this wrong. It's going to be aligned to this. He's like, yeah, I got it. I go there that night. It's not fucking aligned.
Wow, what a
and
surprise.
And I'm like, dude, fuck.
You had one job.
You had one job, right? And this is the thing. Out of 10 jobs, two will probably not go the way I said it.
Right, right.
And I've come to the point now, I literally...
That you have to pick your battles.
Pick my battles.
Yeah, yeah.
That's number one, you know.
Yeah.
Number two, I will literally dump stuff down, print it out.
Mm.
Like, for example, one of my walls is multicolored. One of my rooms has three different colored walls, right?
Just because you want it to be.
I just want to be, right?
Yeah.
I literally printed out the floor plan.
Yeah.
Used highlighters to match the color I want.
Right, yeah.
And literally to highlight that wall on the print, I'd be like, this is the yellow.
Right.
This is the pink.
Right.
You know? And I'm like, okay. And then that happens. And the funny thing is that because the floor plan is looking northward.
Yeah.
And when you come
you
into the building.
You fucked up the coloring.
Wait. And then when you come into the flat, you look southwards. So when you look, while you're looking southwards, you're looking at the floor plan, which is pointing northwards. So he thinks the north room is the south room. Right?
This is stressing me out so much.
I'm like, wow, is this a fucking problem, dude?
Oh, no.
Did you not see where the door was and everything?
So the whole wall was painted wrong?
No, only one layer. They painted one layer wrong.
Okay.
In other words, the first layer was wrong.
Sure.
So I went up there and I was like, this doesn't seem white.
Yeah.
It seems bluish. Why is this bluish? This is not the blue room.
So it's good that you caught it at
least. I caught it. Yeah. You know.
I wonder because I have not had to design anything that like hands on, but I am left handed. I wonder whenever I am like designing my own apartment, basically, how much that would that factor in, like cabinets and stuff.
It would, dude. Like,
because if I have that much control over like where everything goes, handles and stuff, I feel like some things will be more comfortable for me,
like, for example,
if it's like designed for me.
Like, which side does your door the fridge door hinge open?
Yeah, that's right.
Like the left word or right word?
Yeah, it's right word, which is uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can buy a fridge that goes leftward.
Yes.
However, let's say the fridge is now parked on the right side of the room.
Right.
And you open it leftward, you have to walk past the fridge to open it. You get it?
Yeah, as opposed to against a wall that feels more natural.
Yeah. Now, you might say, okay, then park it on the left side of the room.
Mm.
The problem is the door has to open more than 90 degrees to pull out the drawers. So now you have that problem.
Yeah.
Get it? It's these fucking stupid things.
Yeah.
I'm sure many interior designers do that. They already know.
For them, it's just like, second nature.
But I was like, no, I want to design myself, right? So these small things, like, okay, like for example, like washing machine, I have it inside my cabinet. Do I want a door on the cabinet? All right. If I do, if I have a hinge for the door to basically cover the washing machine, that hinge takes up a good like 15 centimeters, right?
Mm.
So that means I got to make my whole cabinet much deeper so I can fit the washing machine in with the hinge.
And also the door of the cabinet will open out.
Yeah.
How much room does it have?
Yeah, I have to be able to open up the whole door as well. Yeah. You must have to have that space. I'm like,
That's a pure like aesthetical thing. If you want like the washing machine to be covered or
not. Yeah. And I was like, no, but I don't want to see the washing machine. I want the door over there. Like, why would I want to see the fucking everything is covered and suddenly the washing machine, what the fuck are you, man?
Well, you know, maybe do sliding doors then.
So, but you have to have space to put the sliding door somewhere.
Yes.
You get the door has to slide somewhere. Yeah,
somewhere.
You get it? So you have all these things.
Yeah.
So all these stupid small details, I'm like, huh, very good point over here. Which is why like initially you might think, I just wanted blue walls and brown floors. Like,
yeah, you have when you take that, because I'm sure for a lot of like interior designers or architects are looking at this and like laughing because
like, this is
such
basic.
A simple like imagine designing anything that is just like actually complicated like a lab you know like or an ICU room
for
example when you really have to pay attention to a lot more
detail. Here I'm going like I want that corner to be pink
when you look at like the lighting and stuff and like stuff like this.
But I'll tell you this though, this is where it comes down to where I can go to someone's house and now I can really study how their interior design did. I'm like, ah, fuck this guy,
right.
I know where he cut corners here now.
Yeah,
for example, right, even the color of the light. Now, you know, sometimes the rooms are yellowish light all the way to the white light. Which light to use for where?
Mm.
How does that work? You know. So, for example, again, all my studying, right? If you have in your house have blue walls or bluish kind of things, you should have daylight light. Like the brighter lights. In other words, 6,500 K versus warm yellow lights, where you have a blue color thing with yellow, it kills the blue, makes it gray.
Right.
See small details. You're like, you know.
You have to actually match the light with the paint.
Yes,
like the
that
general,
you're choosing. Yeah.
Yes, yeah,
you get
yeah.
it. And then the light quality, you have this thing called CRI, color rendering index.
Mm.
If the CRI is low, what happens is everything just feels a bit duller.
Mm.
Whereas if you have CRI high, everything just somehow is brighter. For example, with my spotlight that I use for, let's say, gigs and everything, I have a very high CRI spotlight.
Mm.
You might think it's just a spotlight. I'm like, no, buddy. My face will just somehow glow a little bit better. And you'd be like, I don't know why. He just looks better. Like,
right.
You know, compared
so
to
it's
the
not actually
guy.
Just specifically like the brightness of it.
Yeah.
It's also like
the quality.
The quality.
You know, so all these small details. I'm like, this is fascinating to me. I'm like, now I know. Hence why, again, when I go to someone's house now, oh, my interior designer did this. I'm like,
yeah.
I see what they did
here. I see what the,
You know, this is boring bullshit.
And I feel like a lot of like even the interior designers, like they might agree with you and just do it their own way.
Yeah.
Try to like, if someone is not as experienced, now you're on like what, third?
They can't cheat me. Yeah.
Yeah,
they can't lie to me. Oh, gonna do this. I'm like, nobody.
Yeah.
You don't give me this fucking bullshit. Like, I know exactly what I want. Yeah.
Right. How does it feel to actually see something like if you see, for example, if you do a show, and then you have like a really good video that you post out of that show, that's like your own product that you're very proud of.
Yeah.
The video can live online permanently. And you can get the initial satisfaction. People are like, oh, this is really good or whatever. But living in an apartment that you mostly design, and you see it every single day, does that wear off after a while? You're like,
you get used to it, sure.
Yeah.
However, every little thing you can account for. I think that is, I've always told people, this is something I find very powerful. When you can tell exactly why this corner is this way, you're like, dude, there's nothing about this apartment. You can ask me, like, why did you do it this way? I'm like, oh, even though it's bad. Like, for example, I have little speaker outlets near my beds. Because I was thinking, like, when you want to watch TV, but you don't want the noise, I can have speaker cables. Why not Bluetooth? Because Bluetooth, you lose some quality in the audio. I want speaker cables and everything. Have you ever used them? Never.
Never.
I've never done it. Because I'm at night, I'm like, I'm so tired. I'm not going to plug cables and shit.
Sure.
So I can explain exactly what I thought, what it is, and what really is going on.
It doesn't
on.
Mean that you're actually going to use it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so all that stuff. But I always recommend everyone, if you're going to live in a place that you feel at least for 5 years, it's going to be your life, I would say it's so worth it. Like looking into everything. Like, don't just say the interior designer to tell me what to do.
Sure.
But like, sit there and really be involved in it. Don't be those assholes like, oh, it's not the purple, purple enough. It's like, fuck off, you know. But do your studying, do your homework, like, research. Like, small things like the power sockets and everything, I learned about these tubes where I'm like, oh, there's a 20, there's a 23. Okay. Mm. So now I know if I need this particular thing, I have to go that way. Yeah. So that way, when I talk to anybody, like, oh, we're going to repair this for you with this, I'm like, wait.
I know. I actually know the difference.
Yeah, yeah. Don't just say a tube. Which tube?
Like, yeah. Huh? How do you, what kind of advice would you give people who are like newly experiencing dealing with a Hong Kong contractor in particular? Yeah. Like, what are the things to look out for? I'm sure there are some negative things. Like, I have my own experience with the guys who did the riff, where there was a lot of stuff that was like back and forth, sometimes bad, sometimes misunderstanding, yeah. sometimes it's inexperience, and it's a mixture of it. Obviously, that was a big commercial like project, renovation, yeah. but also there was like sound walls and stuff. So yeah. there's, again, a lot of little details.
Yeah.
But I guess it's more relatable if you talk to someone who is maybe renovating a house, not a shop.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a house, real simple. What I always recommend is like think 10 steps ahead, just because the day will come when they're like, oh, you have to tell me this. Like, huh, what's this? Mm. So you do your own homework. Because a lot of time contractors would assume everyone should know this, right? I mean,
sure.
It's like when you go to a comedy show, people hire you for a show. They're like, all right, where's the lights?
Right.
What light? What? You know, so always assume that they have not told you everything.
So it's kind of like learning to drive a car, basically, where you should assume that everyone else does not know how to drive
correct.
A car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't just say, get ready to drive. It's like, no, mirror, this, that seat, all that stuff. You have to. And then the best thing is that it's never too early to know what you want. Like the flooring, we thought of that from day one. Mm. I was like, I'm going to start looking now. Even though that's like one of the last things to do, I'm like, I want to get that out of the way so we don't change our minds. Because what will happen is you're going to learn about new stuff. You're like, oh, this is actually better. Oh, that's actually really good. You'll never make a decision. So number one, always think 10 steps ahead because the day will come when they ask you a question. You're like, they're like,
and you don't want to sound like, especially in front of the contractor, that you don't know your
You don't know. And what will happen is it's urgent. And they're like, oh, we'll help you decide. You're like, fuck. And then you do something. You're like, shit. I don't really like it. Like I said, handlebars and everything, he could have got them for me and done it himself. Like, no. I'm going to go spend my time, find this color to complement everything. So that's number one. Number two also is that do your homework as well. And number three, honestly, it's so much fun going online and watching other people's homes and be like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like my office space now is like super funky.
Right.
I'll show you later on.
Yeah.
And the reason, because I saw a photo, I'm like, that is so crazy cool to have a room where like four walls are different colors.
Right.
It sounds really overkill. But I was like, but that's the point.
Also where you spend a lot of your time and you work, you're a creative.
Yeah.
So you want to
that
be in
room
an environment.
To be funky, yeah.
Exactly.
And that was the whole idea. I want to get in that room and feel like I'm in a different world. Like the whole idea of this new apartment was every room should be its own little world.
Mm.
However, they all connect to each other.
Right.
Yeah, that's the idea. And so we worked that out.
That's very cool. Well, I'm really looking forward to moving eventually, touch wood, eventually this year when you move upstairs, then we can actually slowly move to a video podcast which will take a lot of time and resources, but we'll get there and that would be really cool. And we can't do that without the help on Patreon. So patreon.com, we're about to record a Patreon episode right after this one. patreon.com/hohopod, $5 a month. New episodes every week, bonus stuff. And we are currently in Australia recording a bunch of other fun content. So stay tuned, everyone. Recommend the podcast to a friend or an enemy and join us on the Patreon. Thank you and good night.